off and went way past it. I mean, it just happened ever so suddenly. And I drank in a very bad way for a couple, 2 or 3 years, till February 8, 1972. And I got to that place where I was so desperately lonely, doing a lot of garage drinking. There was a family going on in the house. I was mean to, I'd every now and then go in and hurl insults at my mother or my mother-in-law, and they'd just nod their heads like, you know, this is a sad state. And my mother-in-law, of course, was always after me to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I didn't come in very often when she was there. But I just longed for company. And I could call LA Central Office, Los Angeles Central Office, and somebody would talk to me. And I called one morning to get somebody to talk to me. They'd pretty soon ask that question, do you have a drinking problem? And I'd always say no. And then they'd want to get off the phone, and I'd say, please talk to me, talk to me. And they'd talk for a while, but they'd go away. But this morning, the person stayed on the phone and asked that question, and I said no, but talk to me. So she talked for a while. She got my address and sent somebody to get me. She guessed that I would need a little help. And Lorena, a person who's sober to this day, way past 50 years sober, out in Ojai, California, came to visit. And she said she had a terrible life. She had a job, but started drinking, and she had lost her job because of drinking, and it was threatening her family. And I was listening to that, and oh, I mean, my just pure empathy. I really felt sorry for her. What a story. The tears coming down my cheeks, and oh, thank you. And she said, but it's not like that anymore. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and now I'm happy. I got my family back. We're getting along really, really well. My children are doing okay. I went back to work again. Life is good, and it's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, I have to keep going to meetings. I'm going to a meeting tonight, by the way. She said, why don't you come with me? I don't need that. She said, well, I know you don't, but you see, I hate to go alone. And if you would come with me, I would not have any problems getting to a meeting. Well, my heart went out to her. I had to be noble. I said, okay, I'll go along with you. And off we went to a dark, quiet meeting in Santa Monica. And I said, well, here, I'll wait on the porch. There was a chair out there, and you go on in. And, oh, no, that's the scariest part, she said. I have to walk through the door with somebody. Would you just walk through the door with me? Well, again, you know, I had to be noble. All right, we'll go in together. Let's sit up front, she said. And we sat up front, and there was a first half that I didn't pay attention to, but the second half was a person named Marion who told my story. And since that time, I have been a great believer in the stories that we tell one another, one alcoholic talking to another. If somehow we can identify and not compare, there is a chance that we'll take some actions that we don't believe in and find sobriety. And she talked about fear, the kind of fear I had. She talked about being fiercely dependent on her husband. I was so dependent on these adults in my life. She talked about losing her job. She had been a medical person. Everything she said, I thought, that's my story. And afterwards, I ran up and asked if she would be my sponsor, and she agreed to do that. If I would come to her home group, the Big Pacific group in West Los Angeles. And I wanted her, as I said, I was prone to form parasitic relationships. unhealthy dependencies. And so anyway, I just sort of sank my talents into Marion. And